T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
John Jastrzemski! Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Final hour. It's 10:04 here on this Thursday evening. It's JJ After Dark, John Jastrzemski. We are keeping you company right here on the Fan. Get aboard at 877-337-6666. And I'm very fired up to welcome in a guy who I have not talked to since the day the NCAA tournament was canceled. And you think about where we were at that point then and where we're at right now. I mean, my goodness. Seems like a totally, totally different world. But we're going to welcome in a guy who's been trying to keep busy, been trying to keep sane. Zach Braziller of the New York Post, who has been moving and shaking every which way. Thinks I'm dodging him when I'm busy, when I'm doing shows. What kind of nonsense is that? Zach, my boy, how you doing? Do we have Zach? Oh, we do not. Now Zach is there. Zach, my boy, how are you? Not yet. All right, so we got to wait a couple minutes. Oh, he is up. I don't hear him. Let's try that again. Zach, third time the charm. How you doing?
Good.
There we go. I gave you this, like, grand, you know, beautiful introduction, and now I basically got to throw right out the window, so I guess we get right down to business. First things first here, my friend. The last time we had a conversation, we were discussing the cancellation of the NCAA tournament, so I guess let's start here. In this crazy, crazy world that we live in, how have you been occupying your time over the last few months?
Doing a lot of features, doing a lot of, you know, kind of rewrites and just finding anything you can find. And, you know, there's been a good amount of news with, you know, the league's trying to get back and baseball, you know, basically trying to alienate their fans. So you always have that. And, doing a lot of old stories. You know, I did Malik Sealy was back. I did a piece on the 1980 St. John's baseball team, the last team to go to the College World Series. I've done a few other things. You find a way to find unique stories. And, you know, Rick, you know, the one thing, Rick Pitino, the 2 days after we talked with the Iona job, so that carried us for a few days.
It sure did, and that was a stunner. I mean, never in a million years did I think Rick Pitino would be the next coach of Iona. But ZB, I'm all over it, man. I'm a big Pitino guy. I think he's one of the best coaches over the last 40 years. If a school like Iona can get Rick Pitino, you do it. And you mark my words, they're going to be damn good under his watch. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I don't see any reason they wouldn't be. I mean, the guy knows how to win. I mean, you could find fault with what he does off the court. Obviously, he's had issues, especially at Louisville. But if you're just talking about basketball, you know, I had no problem with Iona doing that. They took a swing. Now, we still don't know what he's going to get, some kind of a discipline, you know. But I think it's a great move. I mean, look, he's brought in a lot of players already. They're actually recruiting some top 100 kids. And my big thing is he gets, I know he said this is his last job, but I mean, I'm pretty sure he said that before. You know, my question is, what happens if he has a really good first year and let's say like a DePaul opens up? Does DePaul make a run at him? You know, a school like that, you know, I could see him getting another high major job, maybe not top-level high major, but like a high major that really has struggled and thinks he could kind of bring them back to relevance.
Okay, Zach, baseball, I'm glad you mentioned it. I read Tony Clark's statement about a half hour ago, and my grand conclusion in that is the league or the Players Association is daring the league and the owners to go through with this 50-55 game season proposal. Can you envision baseball going through and only playing 50 or 55 games this year?
I think we're seeing, you know, I think we're seeing a game of chicken, you know. My hope is cooler heads prevail and we get like an 80-game season like really we should. You know, both sides are kind of being hard-headed. And I have far less of a problem with the players. To me, the owners are being greedy. You know, these are billionaires. I mean, just look at what these teams are doing with minor leaguers, where you have teams like the Nationals having to offer to pay these minor leaguers' salaries. I mean, the owners are looking to cut costs at every turn. You know, our baseball columnist, Joel Sherman, has basically been all over from the beginning. I mean, he's had everything you could ask for in this whole, you know, saga. And, you know, his basic thought is, you know, both sides kind of have to stop being stupid. You know, if you're facing a pandemic, you have social unrest, you have protests. I mean, for baseball, there was this opportunity to be the first sport back around July 4th weekend. And, I mean, are they really trying to flush this opportunity down the toilet? And, you know, if there's no baseball, if there's a 50-game season, I mean, you're going to lose a lot of fans, I think.
Okay, now, gut feel at this point. If you had to put percentages on what you'd stack up as a realistic chance that we see baseball, 50%, 60%, 80%, what is your confidence level, Zach Brazilla, that there will be in some capacity a 2020 season?
I mean, I think there'll be some capacity, but I mean...
So you're not of the point that they're going to can't. You are not. You don't have the thought going through your mind right now that there's not going to be a season. You don't buy that.
No, I just don't think as far as they are. I mean, you know, I do think there are a lot of bright people, whether it's on the owner's side or the player side, that just realize, you know, how catastrophic for the game it would be. Now, look, we could see a 50-game season. I'm not saying that, which to me would be basically an insult. I mean, 50 games is ridiculous for business. You know, if you get me to 80, 81, at least it's a half a season, and, you know, that's at least, you know, better. Although, look, if they could have just eliminated, just come, you know, find the middle ground, they could have ended up playing 100 or even more. But, you know, that's besides the point. I just don't think they're going to flush a full season down the trunk. Down further with everything going on, whether it's, you know, the pandemic, whether it's the protests. I mean, and people are going to be a little bit out of it because you have the NBA coming back. It looks like the NHL is going to come back. I mean, I think everyone expects the NFL to have some kind of season. Colleges are, you know, still pouring. I'm not as sold as some people are. But, I mean, for baseball is really going to be the only sport not to play with everything crazy going on. I mean, I have to believe they are not fast.
We got our buddy Zach Brazilla from the New York Post who joins us here on this Thursday evening. And ZB, you do a whole lot of time in the fall and the winter spending time on college campuses. You're going to basketball games. You're covering college football. We have our chat, it feels like, yearly when you're down at the semifinal. And then, of course, when we're at the Monday National Championship game. What's your confidence level on being able to do all that sort of stuff? Because, look, we're getting professional sports back. But I think when it comes to these universities, are they going to be able to have sporting events if you don't have students on campus and whatnot? Like, what are you thinking about what a potential 2020 football and basketball season, what could it look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question because I don't think we really know. I mean, my first thing I would say is, look, there are schools that are already going ahead with having, you know, kids on campus. I mean, you saw today Alabama has 5 players tested positive for Corona. Oklahoma State had 3. But, I mean, look, it's pretty obvious these schools are saying, like, we can't survive without college football. We need the money. Now, I have the belief that there will be a season. Now, does that mean if there's a second wave, it could move into the, you know, spring? I think that's possible. It sounds like a lot of these schools are going to try the hybrid method where you're going to have some online classes and some in-person classes, which is kind of a loophole to say, well, you know, if we have some kids on campus, that means we can have student athletes on campus. You know, the NCAA is obviously giving the go-ahead that right now, as long as schools are okay with their, you know, are open, that they can have voluntary workouts. You know, we saw the Notre Dame game got moved from Ireland back here already. So I do think they're gonna do everything possible to have college football. I mean, these schools are already hurting for money with what's going on, and you take college football out, and it'd be deadly. So I do fully expect there to be a college football season of some kind. But look, like the medics just say, you know, the virus creates the time. So could they possibly move it into the spring? I don't think that's out of the question, but it sounds like they're going to do everything possible, you know, to have a season in the fall. Now the question is also, how many fans are there going to be? Are you going to have, you're not going to have 100,000 fans at Alabama, LSU. I mean, yeah, you can't do that. It's just like creating a petri dish, you know? So it's a lot of questions, and right now I still don't think we have a lot of answers.
Not wrong on that. A whole lot of uncertainty every which way. Let's get to the dumpster fire that is the New York Knickerbockers, because they're trying to hire themselves a new head coach. And Zach, to me, there's one choice above the rest. It's Thibodeau. I mean, the guy's a program builder. He's tough as nails. 100 games over 500. Developed young players. And I don't want to hear that he didn't win in Minnesota. Who has won in Minnesota? I mean, you find me the guy that has won with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I like the idea of Tom Thibodeau coming full circle. Would he be your number one choice to take the job?
I mean, it sounds like he's the Knicks' number one choice. I would hire Kenny Atkinson personally, but I do like a lot of what you said.
Out of curiosity, Zach, and I like Atkinson. Why Atkinson over Tibbs?
I just think he really develops players well. You know, he was winning in Brooklyn. I mean, he got a terrible, he was basically a scapegoat for the season. But this year, they weren't even trying to win. This year was all about setting up for next year anyway. I love how guys develop under him. I think he really gets the new age NBA, where obviously the three-point line is so important. Now, I've told you this forever. The first step to Knicks ever becoming relevant is becoming good defense. That's the first step. And now, bringing Thibodeau in, he's a defensive coach. He's going to get that done. I'll say this. You hire one of those two guys, I'll be fine. Fine with it.
So you'd be fine with Thibodeau and Atkinson. I feel the exact same way. Zach, how about Woodson's name? Now, listen, I like Mike Woodson. He did a good job here. I don't know how you could possibly sell Mike Woodson, who left the team 5 or 6 years ago, as the guy coming back to coach. I don't know how you sell that.
Yeah, he had one obviously great year. I mean, it was the one year that Knicks basically been watching him the last 2 decades. But yeah, I think that might be more of a cursory interview. Maybe they bring him. Maybe he joins with the staff of whoever they hire. I know it was obviously reported all over today that he's going to get interviewed, but I think it's pretty clear that Thibodeau is the guy they want, and Atkinson will obviously be in the mix as well. You have Rose stepping into a situation where you can kind of remake this roster. They have a lot of guys on expiring, basically going to be free agents. They have 2 first-round picks. They do have money to spend. I like what he's done with that front office so far. I don't think people are expecting them to be good right away. I think they're going to give this guy time. I mean, he's someone who's, respected across the league, even though he's never obviously worked, as an executive. And I think he's surrounding himself with the right people, which, is obviously, hugely important. Now Stewie retires as a coach.
Zach Brazil of the New York Post. Zach, Disney World for the NBA. You like it?
Yeah, I don't think there are any other options. You know, it's not like baseball where it's outdoors. You know, the fact that basketball's indoors, I think they really had no other choice but to all have it in one under one roof. It's gonna be really interesting because, you know, no fans. You playing it, you know, it's basically it is like kind of an arena setup, but it's just gonna be so different from anything we're used to, and I think it's gonna get a little picky getting used to, but I do think it could be pretty fun. I mean, do you like the idea of it?
Listen, I like the idea of sports coming back anyhow. Zach, it's really as simple as that. If you tell me Orlando, if you tell me 50 games for baseball, I mean, you go and give me live action, what we've been craving, what we've been missing. I think we need it in the absolute worst way. I like the idea of reseeding, going 1-16. And Zach's going to be like Summer League, bro. I mean, you're going to have games going around the clock. Sign me up for that. Let's go.
Yeah, what I'm interested in is, like, you know, I talked to Shaq like a few weeks ago, and I asked him about the whole NBA, you know, or NBA thing, and like, he hated the idea of no fans. He's like, that's what got me going was the fans. Whether I was at home and people were, you know, rooting for me, or I was on the road and people were cursing me out. He's like, that's what got me going. That's what motivated me. I'll be interested to see that some guys might struggle with the, you know, in this form, and some guys might be great. I'm really interested to just kind of see what this product is like. And yeah, think about it. We could have NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, baseball, you know, NFL. I mean, think about it. I mean, the fall could be absolutely just wild. And look, we're due for something, because I remember when we talked after the NCAA, you know, was canceled, and we were talking like how long will we do without sports for. I mean, by now I thought we'd have sports, that's for sure.
Oh, no question. Now, Zach, before we get you out of here, what has been the coolest project for you as a guy who's diving in, you're doing these feature pieces, you're, you know, having all sorts of fun? What has been the piece that you look back on over the last 3 months? I know I've done it with people I've had on the show. I mean, I've gotten a chance, whether it's PJ Carlissimo, David Wells, Johnny Damon. We've had some really, really cool guests. Not that you don't fit that description, but listen, I take you for granted. I have you on all the time. I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're doing something different now, digging deep over these last couple months. What piece did you have the most fun doing?
You know, I would say it was probably a tie between the, you know, the Malik Sealy piece and the St. John's baseball, but the Sealy one specifically, just because, you know, I don't think people remember what a just unbelievable person he was. You know, he obviously, 20 years ago, he lost his wife, a drunk driver, driving on the wrong side of the road in Minnesota, killed him while he was in his own car. And he was a quality NBA player. He was a great college player. He was a great high school player. But the thing that people, you know, when you talk to different people about him, the thing that people talk about is what a great person. And that, and for a guy who was, you know, had a long NBA career, who was a, you know, an all-time great at St. John's, really speak volumes. And I talked to so many different people who gave me just so many great stories about how he was give his time. And, he was into fashion. I mean, who knows? This guy might have become a, you know, the mayor of New York City, if he, you know, one day, or, you know, the NBA, you know, the president of the Knicks or something. Just a great, great guy who was a terrific player and, you know, lost his life way too soon, you know. Just it's funny, you know, it kind of took my mind off everything that's going on, yet I'm writing about a tragedy while, you know, a lot of people are dealing with their own tragedy at the same time. But that to me was great, because there's, you know, a lot of old St. John's fans reached out to me about how happy they were to read about him and remember him again. It's a, you know, The great talent value of Tom Kajowski called him the prince of the city. That's really what he was. You know, no, everybody loved the guy. You know, teammates, opponents, you know, coaches, fans, you know, he was one in a million. And just, you know, it, fun to kind of really learn about the person, but it's obviously also sad because just to wonder what he would be doing with his life right now.
Well said, my friend. And ZB, on a much lighter note to get you out of here, how about the recruiting that Jimmy Boeheim and the Q's been doing lately, my friend? That is music to my ears. That is something that fires me up. Let's go.
Hey, big couple of days for Syracuse. You know, UConn come back to the Big East. I just hope we get to start the season on time.
Amen to that. Zach, good stuff, my friend. Hope you and everybody is staying safe. Stay sane. And hopefully the next time I have you on, we got some live sports to discuss. That would be nice.
I can't wait.
There you have it. That's Zach Brazil of the New York Post. We got a lot more to do. We get back to your calls at 877-337-6666. It is a Thursday edition of JJ After Dark. It's John Jastrzemski right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.